3, where he was crying out to God and saying why. And then in chapters 4 and 5 last week, his oldest of his four friends, Eliphaz, basically blamed Job for the sin. Called Job a hypocrite, and then gave observation, experience, and the majority's opinion as the basis for his conclusion that suffering is as the result of sin. And sadly, most of the world believes that, and sometimes Christians believe that. That all suffering is as a result of sin, and that is just not true, as we can see when we read the book of Job. So now that his first friend has given his little discourse and essentially blamed Job for his own suffering, Job now in chapter 6 and 7 answers his first friend, and we're going to see this back and forth take place throughout the book. But in this this discourse, starting in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, Job answered and said, "Oh, that my grief were throughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the errors of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. That the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God will grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort, yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? What is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty." So that verse 14, pity should be showed from his friend, is our title. Lord, give us wisdom and use your word to teach us tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be here. May we leave blessed by your word and changed by it. Just meet with us now. We love you. Amen. So we see a lot already, don't we, in Job's response. But the one thing that we see right off is that Job is acknowledging that his suffering is from God, that God is sovereign, and that there's suffering in our lives, that God understands it and knows it's happening. It's not a surprise to God. And that's what he said. He says, the arrows of the Almighty are within me, that God has allowed this to come into my life. And he already explained that he doesn't know why, but he's acknowledging that God is in control. And sometimes we just need to do that. But Job is low enough that he's essentially saying, I wish that God would just kill me. You read that, right? And I think it teaches us, you know, a lot of Christians ask the question about suicide. If anybody would have been tempted to commit suicide, it'd be Job. He's lost his children, his living, and now his health. For all he knows, that's it. He's going to spend the rest of his days sitting in the ash pile scraping the boils. But did he kill himself? No. He sat there and trusted God. If he did die, go to chapter 19, he knew what was coming. He knew what was awaiting him on the other side of the grave, and that was to see God. He understood enough about God. Even though he didn't have the Old Testament, he obviously understood. Notice 19:25, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So Job is saying, I know that when I die physically, I will see God. And Paul said a similar thing, didn't he? He said, it's better for me to stay with you churches and help you, but I'd rather be in heaven. So I think we learn something there, that I don't believe it's God's will for a Christian to commit suicide, to leave it in God's hands, which is what he's doing. So he's saying there in verse 9, it would please God to destroy me. So he's saying, I'm not going to consider suicide, but if God wants to take me to heaven, that's okay, after all that I've been through already, all the suffering. But I like what he had to say there in verse 14. It actually ties in well with our message from this morning. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. He's essentially saying to Eliphaz, who's given his initial speech and blamed all the suffering on Job and on sin, rather than come here and accuse me, I wish you guys would come here and hurt with me and be a true friend and show pity. And a lot like what we read this morning in Galatians 1. You that are spiritual, what? Restore such an one. And bear the burdens of each other, as we read in Galatians 6 this morning. Look at Romans 12:15. This is another command for Christians. When we see a brother or sister suffering, what are we supposed to do? Like we saw this morning, we're supposed to be there for them. Notice Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. It's called empathy. And Job is essentially saying, I wish you guys would have come here and shown me some empathy and said, we're sorry you're hurting and we're here for you, rather than, and it's only going to get worse, by the way, rather than Eliphaz saying, Job, this is all your fault and you need to quit being a hypocrite and admit that it's because of sin that you're suffering the way you are. And when you get that dealt with, maybe God will take the suffering away. But how often do we think those same thoughts in the back of our minds when another Christian suffers? And we could be completely off base. Our attitude should be instead, this suffering is God's will. I don't know what its purpose is in this Christian's life, but I'll be there to help them. I'll be there, as Job said, to show pity and to weep with them when they weep, and to hurt with them. And as we read in Galatians 6 this morning, help bear their burden. Leave the reason part up to God. Amen. Leave the judgment part up to the Lord. If God has a purpose in the suffering, it might be chastisement. That's not for us to determine. Or it may be refinement. We don't know what it is. Leave that up to God and just be a friend. And that's essentially what he's saying. Who does he want pity from? Verse 14, his friend. These guys claimed to be his friend and they came to supposedly comfort him. That's not what they're doing. And it's not what you, as you'll see as we walk through each one's discourses, they did not comfort Job. If anything, they made his suffering worse. You know, we talked last week about the four areas where we can suffer. And Job faced all four. We can suffer family, we can suffer our health, suffer in finances, or we can suffer in our relationships with other people. He faced all of it in his time. Because supposedly, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 11, it lists the three friends there, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. We're going to hear from all three of them. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. So supposedly their reason for coming was to comfort him. But when they got there, and after their 7 days of silence, they didn't comfort him. They instead began to accuse him. So back to our passage. I stopped reading, but I'm going to carry on in chapter 6, verse 22. He says, did I say, bring unto me or give a reward for me of your substance? Or deliver me from the enemy's hand? Or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? He's saying, I didn't ask you guys to come. And I haven't asked you for anything. I haven't asked you for money. I haven't asked you for anything except maybe some pity. Maybe some empathy. And I think we can learn from this that that's what our friends need when they're hurting. Some empathy. Let God deal with the rest. So So verse 24, teach me and I will hold my tongue and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. He's saying, if you really do understand the purpose in this suffering, then tell me. Because he's already said he doesn't understand it, but he's going to trust God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, he said. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 25, how forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? 26, do you imagine to reprove words in the speeches of one that is desperate? He's saying that he's desperate. Well, wouldn't we be if we had lost everything from an earthly point of view? He says, yet, verse 27, yea, you overwhelm the fatherless and you dig a pit for your friend. Isn't it sad that sometimes when we are going through a rough time, our friends can become our greatest accusers? And that's what we're seeing here. And we'll continue to see in the book of Job. So he says in go on to chapter 7. He goes on to say, verse 1, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I'm full of tossings to and fro under the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me and I am not. As a cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so is he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And we've seen some of this honesty already that Job poured out to the Lord. He's saying, I'm just going to be honest with God about my hurt, about my pain, about my not understanding. Go to Psalm 145:21. This is what God wants from all of us when we pray, is honesty. And Job was being honest with God in chapters 3 and 4 about his pain and suffering. Notice Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. In truth. God wants us to call upon him in complete honesty. Are we hurting? Be honest. Are we confused? Be honest. Job was honest. And he was suffering probably more than any person's ever suffered outside of Christ. So he says, I'm just going to be honest with God. And if you go down to chapter 6, verse 14, chapter 7, verse 14, I think he was also giving Eliphaz a bit of a rebuke about his dream. Remember, he used his dream as one of his proofs of his points. He says, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. Remember, Eliphaz had held up his dream as proof that he was right about suffering only comes to those who have sinned. And Job says, are you here to scare me with your dreams? Because it's working. So one thing that we see in this passage, and finish at verse 20, I have sinned. So Job at no time claims to be perfect. He acknowledges he's a sinner. And we're going to see him do this multiple times through the book of Job. We always have to be honest about our sin and keep those short accounts with God. But what we can learn from these chapters tonight is that when our friends are hurting, what do they want from us? They just want us to care and empathize and comfort and to be a help rather than an accuser. Go to 2 Corinthians 1 and we'll see that God gave us this amazing responsibility to use the suffering that we've experienced to be a blessing to those who suffer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." Well, what a blessing. We could just stop there. He says, God comforts us in all our tribulation. But then God says, He actually has a purpose in it. He says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So we just found another purpose for some of our trials. So we'll be better equipped to help others that will go through similar trials. Isn't that amazing how God does that? We all need earthly comfort sometimes. We definitely need a comfort from God, and the Holy Spirit is the comforter. But we are human, and God knows that. And God wants us to be a blessing to one another, especially in times of suffering. We'll go to Galatians 6. I know we looked at it this morning, but just be reminded that we are here for others. And not just our best friends, but for those who fall. Notice verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." His friends should have been there to help bear the burden, to give him comfort, to give him, as he said, pity. There in chapter 6, verse 14. Unfortunately, that's not what they ended up doing. They came to accuse. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to accuse one another. Matter of fact, the one who has that title is Satan. In Revelation chapter 12, he's called the accuser of the brethren. And by the way, we got a glimpse of that in chapter 1, didn't we? Where he basically said to God, the only reason he worships you, the only reason he's faithful is because you bless him so much. If you take those things away, he'll curse you to your face. Accusation. God allowed him to take those things away, and he didn't curse God to his face. Satan was wrong. But there was still the accusation. That's not what God calls us to do when our friends are suffering, is to go and accuse, but to go to comfort, to empathize, to be a help, to help, as we read here in Galatians 6, to bear their burden. Leave the rest up to God. If God has a purpose in the suffering that's outside of our understanding, so be it. We don't have to understand. God can handle it. He's got big shoulders. We just need to go be a blessing. And it's too bad that his friends didn't do what they said they came to do, and that's to comfort their friend. But we can certainly comfort our friends when they suffer. Amen? As he said there, "To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend." If we're going to be a true friend, when our friends are hurting, empathize, comfort, show pity rather than accuse. Let's pray.